There have been times when giving and loving brought pain, and I promised I would never let it happen again. But I found out that loving was well worth the risk, and that even in losing you win. I'm going to live the way he wants me to live. I'm going to give until there's just no more to give. I'm going to love, love till there's just no more love. I can never, never outlove the Lord. He showed us that only through dying we live, and he gave when it seemed there was nothing to give. He loved when loving brought heartache and loss. He forgave from an old rugged cross. I'm going to live the way he wants me to live. I'm going to give until there's just no more to give. I'm going to love, love till there's just no more love. I could never.
This time, Pastor Lynn Johnston of Foot of Ten is going to speak.
Sorry. Well, good morning. It is good to be with you this morning, all the way from Foot of Ten, okay? I have to confess, I'm here with mixed emotions this morning. My wife is over in Nason Hospital this morning. We had to call the ambulance on Monday and take her to the hospital. And actually, since August, when we had a disaster experience at the Altoona Hospital, it's been sort of an up and down thing for months. But we are happy to be here and share the Word of God with you. As far as the clock is concerned, okay, I read a story one time about a pastor, and he showed up and he had a Band-Aid on his chin. And he told his folks that he was thinking of his sermon, and he cut his chin. After the service was over, a lady went out and said, "Next time, think of your chin and cut the sermon." So, okay. Turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 for our scripture this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I have been filling in some different churches, and I sort of feel like I'm a stranger here anymore, but I sort of developed the habit of telling what I call a preacher story before I begin my message, okay? So I'm going to tell you a preacher story this morning, okay? This little widow lady was at church Sunday evening, and the preacher was preaching on Acts 2:38. And she paid close attention to the message, and when she got home, here she discovered there was a burglar in her house, okay? And she got all flustered, and she just yelled out, "Acts 2:38. And the burglar froze in his tracks, you know? And the police came, and the police said to him, "Well, why didn't you run?" "Run," he said. "She said she had an axe and 2:38s. So I guess I wouldn't run either, okay? For our scripture, our message this morning is entitled Signs of a Saint. Signs of a Saint. Let's read the first chapter of 1 Thessalonians this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1. "Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word also only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything. For they themselves show us of what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, who he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." Would we pray together this morning? Our precious Heavenly Father, we come to thee this morning. We thank you, Lord, for this time of worship and fellowship. Lord, we recognize that thou alone are worthy of our worship. There is none that can be likened unto thee. There is none that can be compared unto thee. Lord, we pray that our worship would be acceptable unto thee this morning. We pray, Lord, that it might be in the beauty of holiness that we worship you, that it might be in spirit and truth that we worship you this morning. And we pray, Lord, that for every one of us here this morning, that your Holy Spirit might speak to our hearts in a special way. We pray, our Heavenly Father, this morning for those who are going through difficulties in their life. We pray especially for the Fink family at this time, Lord, and the situation they are confronted with. Lord, we pray that you just encourage their hearts. We thank you, our Heavenly Father, that you care about us, that you promise never to leave us, and so we just pray that you'd be with them. We pray, our Heavenly Father, for the others who are going through difficult times, maybe sickness. We realize there's a lot of sickness going around now. maybe family problems, maybe financial problems, emotional problems, whatever the problem is, Lord, we know that you can meet that need. And so we pray that you would meet the need of the hearts this morning. We pray especially for our nation, Lord, a nation that is in wicked rebellion against thee. We pray, our Heavenly Father, that you would forgive us. We pray, our Heavenly Father, that there might be an awakening in our nation, Lord, that we might turn back to the truth of thy word. We pray for our leaders, Lord. We pray that they might be men and women of godly morals, our Heavenly Father, that they might set an example for the rest of their nation. We realize, Lord, in the nation of Israel, they desired to have wicked leaders that they themselves might live the same way. But we pray, Lord, that we might have leaders that would lead us in godly morals, our Heavenly Father. Thank you for our Savior. Thank you, our Heavenly Father, for the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that when you see us, you don't see us as the sinners that we truly are, but you see us as ones who have the righteousness of Christ imputed to our account. Be with us this morning as we look to your word, for it's in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus, that we pray. Amen. Some time ago, I had a funeral, and the partner of the person I had the funeral for said to me, "Well, whatever you do, don't make them a saint. You know how it is, the worst mafia person can die, and all of a sudden, once they die, they become a saint. They loved their mother so much, or they helped this little person doing this or that, and it just seems like it doesn't matter how wicked the person is when they die, whoever has a service makes a saint out of them." Well, I said to them, that's not my job to make a saint out of somebody. If a person repents of their sins, place their trust in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, God makes them a saint. So I can't make them a saint, okay? But in this passage of Scripture that we're looking at this morning, I think there are five things that I've characterized as signs of a saint, okay? Now, I recognize that when we look at individuals, we cannot look into their heart. God is the only one that can look into the heart of the person and see whether there is genuine trust in their heart on the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. But outwardly, we can look at some things and deduct whether a person may be a saint or maybe not a saint. The five things that I want to call to your attention this morning are this. First of all, the Scriptures. Secondly, are they samples? Thirdly, their speech. Fourth, their service. And fifth, the second coming. And in this chapter, I believe we see those five things, okay? First of all, let's look at the Scriptures, okay? Look at verse 6 with me, if you will, please. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6. "And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction and joy of the Holy Ghost." Take note to that little statement, having received the word. Having received the word. And in reality, in this passage of Scripture, it says they received the word in much affliction and with joy of the Holy Ghost. That is the way they received the word. You know, it's always interesting that sometimes people, when things are really going smooth for them, they don't really experience the joy of the Holy Ghost sometimes as much as somebody who's going through all kinds of difficulty, affliction, and so forth. These people were going through all kinds of difficulty. If they were a Jew and they became Christians, they had the antagonism of the Jews towards them because they rejected Judaism and turned to Christianity. If they were Gentiles, they had the antagonism of the Gentiles and their pagan way of life. Did you ever grasp that unsaved people want saved people to live the same way they live? Because that doesn't prick their conscience if you're living the same way they are. But in this passage of Scripture, it basically says they received the word of God. How did they receive the Word of God? First of all, I'd say to you that to receive the Word of God is to respond to the Word of God. So they were individuals who responded to the Word of God. A person that is outside of Christ and the plan of salvation is given to them, that they are sinners without hope, that all their righteousness is filthy rags. When they receive the Word, they respond to that truth and place their trust in the work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, that they might be forgiven of their sins and they might be have the privilege of being sons of God. So they receive the Word. They respond to it. We as Christians, when we open the Word of God and we study the different challenges of the Word of God, the different admonitions of the Word of God, if we respond to the truth of God's Word, we have in reality received the Word of God. These folks at Thessalonica received the Word of God. When we talk about receiving the Word of God, how do different people receive the Word of God? Some people receive it. Some people reject it. Some people say, well, might be so. Some people say, well, maybe at a later date I'll consider that. And so they have all kind of responses. But look over in chapter 2, verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians. And here it tells you how these individuals received the Word of God. Now, you know, a lot of times we as preachers spout off our opinions sometimes. And a lot of people will say, well, that's just his opinion. Well, and a lot of times, that's the truth for us. We do spout our opinions, okay? But when we are reading the Word of God, a lot of people will say, well, that's just opinion. But take note how these individuals received the Word. Chapter 2, verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the Word of God, take note, when ye received the Word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. We have two choices. We can receive it as the word of men, or we can receive it as it is in truth, the Word of God. Now you see, there are multitudes of people who think this book is just a book of myths, a book that was written by a bunch of old fogies back in Palestine, and we don't need to pay any attention to it because it's the opinion of men. I'm here to tell you, this is indeed the Word of God. Let me quickly take you to some passages of Scripture and show you how individuals receive the Word of God. They received it as the Word of God. Turn back with me, if you will, please, to Acts chapter 2. And let me read a passage of Scripture for you from Acts chapter 2. You know, the Word of God isn't always just as palatable as we would like it to be, because it hits us where it hurts sometimes. And the simple fact of the matter is, sometimes it has to hurt to help. Okay, but take note how these individuals here received the Word. Look at Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, well, here we are at Acts chapter 2, verse 38, but I don't have no Acts or 2:38s, okay? Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Take note in verse 31 it says, then they that gladly received his word. That's how they received it. They gladly received it. Do you and I, you and me, gladly receive the Word of God? Go back with me to Acts chapter 17, if you will, please. Acts chapter 17. Here in Acts chapter 17, we see another account of some individuals that received the Word of God. In Acts chapter 17, verse 10. Acts chapter 17, verse 10. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went unto the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Take note, they received the word with all readiness of mind. I could take you to a number of other passages of scripture, but could I just say to you this morning, one of the signs of a saint is this: they receive the word. Whether the person is unsaved, they must receive it. Whether it is we as God's people, whether it hurts us or not, we must receive it. And I'm here to tell you one of the signs of a saint is that they receive the word of God. The second thing I would say to you is this. The second sign of a saint is that they are samples. Samples, okay? Not exactly the word we have here in the Bible, but let me read it for you in verse 7. So that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and in Caia. So that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and in Campbell. Okay? I changed it from in samples to samples because I was looking for a word that began with the letter S. Okay? Whether it is example, in sample, sample, whatever it is, one of the signs of a saint is that they are a sample to others. You know, I don't go to Sam's Club, but I was in Sam's Club one time, okay? I'm like someone else I know. I don't pay somebody to shop in their store. You get that? I don't pay somebody to shop in their store, okay? Anyhow, when I was there, okay, all down the aisle, there were all kinds of people, and they had little toothpicks stuck in stuff, okay? Want a sample? Want a sample? Want a sample? Why did they want you to have a sample? They wanted you to buy what they were giving you a sample of, okay? I had my wife at the doctor just recently, and the doctor handed me a couple boxes that were samples. He said, here, try these. What was the goal? Well, if they work, you can buy more, okay? So, here is the issue for those of us who claim to be Christians. It is a sure sign of a saint. We live or should live in a way that others should desire to have what we have. Okay? So, we are to be samples that others might desire to have what we have. How can we be samples? Well, not be conformed to the world, be conformed to the person of Jesus Christ, and we will be samples to other individuals. Turn back with me, if you will, please, to your Bibles at Acts chapter 4. And let me read a passage of Scripture for you from Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, and here's an example of individuals who were samples. And a sure sign of a saint is that they are a sample. As we begin the year 2017, we need to ask ourselves these questions. Am I receiving a word? Am I a sample to others? Look at Acts chapter 4, verse 13 with me, if you will, please. Now, Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. They marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Question for every one of us is, can someone else tell that we have had an encounter with Jesus himself and he has changed our lives, changed the way we live, changed our attitudes, changed our aims, changed our aspirations? These believers in Thessalonica were in samples, and we should be samples in the same way. Look back with me, if you will, please, at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, let me read a passage of Scripture for you from 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 22. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 22. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 22. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those who are that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that you are mad? But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down in his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. I wonder, are we the kind of samples that someone would say of us, God is in him or her of a truth? A sure sign of a saint is that they are samples to others. The third thing I would call your attention to out of this passage of Scripture is their service. Their service. Look at verse 8 with me, if you will, please, in 1 Thessalonians. I'm sorry, their speech is the next one. Their speech, verse 8. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and in Caia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. Take note in verse 8. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord. But I say to you, the sure sign of a saint is that they have a desire to see others come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's sad to say, and I hate to say it, but a lot of times I believe Christians take the attitude, well, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, I don't have to worry about anybody else. I'm going to heaven, so that's all there is to it. Listen, I'll tell you something. A sure sign of a saint is that they want as many other people to go to heaven with them as they can have go to heaven with them. Question for us, is the word of the Lord sounding out from us? A sure sign of a saint is the word of the Lord will be sounding out from them. You say, well, I can't do it. Well, listen. There are ways that every person can sound out the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have opportunities day in and day out to speak. But if we can't speak, let me ask you this. Have you ever stuck some tracts in your pocket and handed a tract to someone else? Have you ever left a tract in a doctor's office when you're at the doctor's office? Have you ever left a tract in a waiting room at a hospital? Have you ever gone to the restaurant and left a tract in a restaurant? I want to tell you something. The sure sign of a saint is they care about the souls of men and women. They desire others to come to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me read you a passage of Scripture. A very profound passage of Scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Turn back there with me, if you will, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 13. This is a passage of Scripture that it should hit every one of us right between the eyes. Okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore we speak. Interesting question. Could it be that we don't speak because we don't believe the way we should believe? It says in this passage of Scripture, we believe and therefore we speak. I can take you back to Acts chapter 4. Well, let's go back there. Acts chapter 4, verse 19. Let me take you back to Acts chapter 4 and read this passage of Scripture. So much more powerful. I read it and try to explain it to you. Acts chapter 4, verse 19. Acts chapter 4, verse 19. We read these words. Acts chapter 4, verse 19. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. I could take you back to the book of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah was going through such horrendous trouble. Jeremiah said, you know, he was prophesying about the nation of Israel, and they were persecuting him and putting him in a pit. Jeremiah said, I'm not going to say any more about it. Not going to say any more. So he said, it was like the words burning in my bones, and I cannot be quiet. Listen, beloved, sure sign of a saint is that they sound out the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The fourth thing is service. Look at verse 9. Verse 9, for they themselves show of what manner of entering in we had unto you, how they turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. They serve from worshiping dead idols to serve the living and the true God. But I say to you, the fourth sign of a saint is they will be serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And make no mistake about it, every person who is a child of God should be serving the Lord in some capacity. If you claim to be a child of God and you are not serving the Lord in some capacity, you need to examine your salvation experience. Because, beloved, He gave His life for us on the cross of Calvary. Can we not give any of our time to Him? Can we not give any of our talent to Him? Can we not give any treasure to Him? Can we not serve Him? I'm here to tell you there's a way for every child of God to serve the Lord. And the sure sign of a saint is they serve the living and the true God. Look back at Hebrews chapter 9 with me, if you will, please. Hebrews chapter 9. Let me read a passage of Scripture for you from Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. Chapter 9, verse 14. What did I say? Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. Is that what I said? Okay. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? How much more shall the blood of Christ, who the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? I'm here to tell you, I worked with a lot of dead things in my life. Lifeless things. Concrete blocks, lumber, brick, whatever it is. Loading and unloading trucks. I did a lot of things with lifeless things. But I'm here to tell you, beloved, the child of God should be serving in some capacity, serving the living and true God. And I'm here to tell you, one of the signs of a saint is that they serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, quickly, let me call your attention to the second thing. It relates to the second coming. It relates to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 10. Well, that part of verse 8 said, you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven. And to wait for his Son from heaven. Let me ask you a question. Any day this week, did we get up and say, this might be the day. This could be the day. I'm here to tell you, one of the signs of a saint is they are waiting for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are waiting and listening for the shout and the trump of God and the voice of the archangel when he breaks through the blue to receive us unto himself, and we spend all eternity with him. Question for each one of us, are we waiting with anticipation for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ? Or are we like the little boy? And I know I told you the story before. The pastor said, how many want to go to heaven? And everybody shot up their hand, the little boy down in the front row. The pastor said to the little boy, son, don't you want to go to heaven when you die? Oh, sure, he said, I want to go to heaven when I die. I thought you was getting a busload to go right now. Sad, sad truth. Many of us are too comfortable in the life that we are living to anticipate the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I say, beloved, one of the sure signs of the saint is they are waiting and watching and listening for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know how many of you remember Pastor Colt from Altoona Bible Church, but I can remember his plain as day. One of his famous sayings was, keep looking up. Keep looking up. Now I want to tell you something. Beloved, the sure sign of a saint is that they're looking up, listening, and waiting, and watching for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Closing. Let me just read the last part of verse 10. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Beloved, in closing this morning, I'm here to tell you, if you reject the truth of God's word, if you fail to believe what he says about the Lord Jesus Christ, that he was the virgin-born Son of God, that he went to a lonely cross and a lonely hill in the Palestine hills and died on the cross of Calvary to forgive us our sins, to make us children of God, to have the Spirit of God indwell within us, have us spend all eternity with him. If you reject that love and that grace of Almighty God, there is only one thing that you will experience for all eternity. That is the wrath of God. Could we pray together today? Our Heavenly Father, we come to thee this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the truth of thy